Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold! Dungeons and Doritos! Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama! A cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at dungeonsanddoritos.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Hello, everyone. What you're about to listen to is a live playtest of our Scratch Dice system set in the world of Erd. It's a high fantasy setting a million years into Earth's future. At this stage, the game is playable, but very roughly hewn. But we love it, warts and all. So come along with us in our brand new campaign,
Echoes of the Star Crypt.
Guys, this is our first playtest.
Yay!
Since relaunching.
That's so crazy.
Nervous? You guys nervous?
No.
You're not nervous.
I'm excited, yeah.
You're not DMing.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Set the stage. We are in the world of Erd, a world of high fantasy that has just learned the concept of magic. People have started to develop magic spontaneously that they can cast without ritual, kind of like they're the X-Men. And it's an important moment in their lives when they discover that they can cast this kind of magic. Depending on their culture, this may be a good or a bad thing. And the world of Erd is filled with the human-like Tolden and an enormous amount of anthropomorphic, other sapient humanoid races. There is a big city in an oasis-like desert, like the river delta of the Nile during the Fertile Crescent. This is the city of Nefar. The buildings are made of elaborate sandstone. They're hundreds of feet high, with carvings of all kind of crocodile people made into them, because that's who lives here. But this is a trade central, so you could see people of all races here. And the reason why you guys are here is because this is the last step before starting an archaeology expedition that is being funded by a Tiktani collective, which is a group of bug people that live underground, and it's partially funded by the Church of Baratus. To facilitate this meeting, a representative from the Tiktani collective known as the Batarost is here, and his name is Thudart, and he's a small, bug-like creature, non-humanoid, who looks kind of like a small, stout stag beetle. You are in a meeting room within the Kohla Bank. That's K-H-O-L-A, not like Pepsi Cola.
RC Cola.
Thudart sits at a large table, and the rest of you are arrayed around it. He needs to sit because he's not often upright, because his body is not really built to be.
And, bipedal.
Right, he's not bipedal. But he's very erudite and articulate, and he says to you, "I want to thank you all for joining us. This is a huge undertaking, and I would like to help my collective Batarost. This is the first time we've done this, because last time that we encountered such an object underground, we didn't handle it to the satisfaction of those above. So, we are working again with one of our associates, Mr. Nesbitt Brizzleby. To my understanding, this is the first time that you all have met, really, in person,
yes,
since being approached.
Yes.
Yes.
So the group of you is kind of a motley crew, but it's not girls, girls, girls. You're all male. And
we're all hot for teacher, though.
So
this stag beetle's doing it for me.
Keith is playing Nesbitt Brizzleby. Can you describe
Bizzleby, homie?
Nesbitt Bizzleby. What does he look like?
He's basically a weasel looking dude. He's
but he's literally not like a weasel looking
yes
person.
No, like
he's a weasel made into a man.
A weaselly looking weasel. Mostly brownish hair, white V of fur going under his nose, stands about 5'3", moderate build, whatever that means by Weasel standards.
Slender. <Yeah. laughs> Well, but Weasel, he's a thick motherfucker.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a shifty looking character as well?
Yes, definitely. Okay. He's, he's not somebody you immediately trust upon a first glance.
Next to Nesbitt is Giles Drogai, a Tolden.
A Tolden, approximately 38, about 5'10", 180, kind of a lean, muscular build on him. Clean-shaven, brown hair pulled back in a ponytail, just past his shoulders, brooding, calculating, looking at everyone in the room.
Max.
Dr. Professor Kelton Mandergrove. He is a guff. He's about 28. He's got the light brown to dark brown complexion, kind of like a grizzly bear, but with magnificent orange tufts coming off the side of his face.
Okay.
He's got reasonably long tusks, you know.
So not unreasonably long.
Not unreasonably long, you know.
You wouldn't be embarrassed. Like,
no,
you know,
effective.
Like, gaudy.
But impressed tusks. Still.
Impressive, yeah. You would
stately.
You would say.
In
fact, his whole, he's a magnificent beast, if you will.
Okay. What about Liam? Who are you playing?
I'm playing Esmond Trod. He's Harad, which is the alligator people. He's closer to 7 feet than 6 foot. Pretty heavy set.
Now, is that snout to tail 7 feet? Or
oh,
you mean,
no,
like,
I'm saying
upright?
Tall.
Okay.
Like, he's a beast. Middle-aged, teal to dark green kind of coloring, with his armored segments being umber or slightly reddish. And
very
sexy
alligator.
Every now and again, they kind of glow a little bit more than you're used to, and it's kind of weird.
I didn't know I was into that, but I'm into that.
Scaly's
and he's wearing simple nomad attire, like a white silken dress.
Like a robe,
a
tunic.
With a gray vest and a traveler's silk cap wrapped around his head, tucked underneath his giant fucking jaws.
Theodart says, as you know, we, our associate Nesbitt, contacted you all and contacted Giles of the Church of Baratus, has allowed us to interface with you uplanders in this way, in a way that our soloists could not. So we brought on our archaeologist, and we hope that together us and the church can meet some kind of amicable excavation of this.
It is a guff artifact.
Very well. You are the expert.
It belongs to the guff. It is suitably ancient.
Gentlemen, the important thing is that's valuable, right?
And to facilitate this traversal, as you know, into dangerous territory, we have hired on our guide and excavator, Esmond Trod of Westplatz. His language skills and knowledge of the area should assist us with this delicate undertaking.
Salutations.
The city of Nefar sits at a river, much in the way of, like, ancient Babylon. And then it's in the country of Tulane. And Tulane borders Gravor. Gravor is untamed wilderness. It's not so untamed that nobody lives there, but more untamed like ancient Gaul, where there are competing tribes, there are different races that share the area, there are distinct ethnic groups that each want a piece of it. There are several groups that may not be happy to see anybody that doesn't belong there, considering that they are in conflict with each other at the same time. He continues and says,
as you know, we sent a large force ahead of time in preparation. Once Nesbitt had written you all to contract, we sent off a large excavation force in preparation of your arrival. You will know a few of them. They've worked alongside you before, but I just wanted to get you all together before you set off, that we could answer any questions that you may have.
What do you got, guys?
How will we repatriate this to the guff?
Well, should the artifact in question turn out to be guff...
It is.
You will.
We shall see.
Badarost does not wish to engender any more conflict than it has already done. So you will direct any concerns of that nature to Nesbitt, who has a long history of reappropriating objects for us.
I promise you, gentlemen, this will go exactly where it needs to go.
How many of you unbaked idiots am I taking through the desert?
You will also be supplied with a caravan. You have a lot of equipment that will be traveling with you. This is the final thrust.
20? 25 people?
15.
That's doable.
And Mr. Trod knows what waits for him at the border, but just so that you know, it is not all desert. You will be traveling into thick forest once you clear the land of Tulane.
We must trust the guilt?
You say that with a tone that kind of hurts a little bit.
Oh, you'll forgive me. It's just I've known guilt before.
You'll have to forgive me. We had assumed that the guilt contracts were the standard for the region.
Well, yes, of course, but...
Yes, of course.
Just because you haven't seen a guff contract.
You are correct. Perhaps the artifact that we uncover should be guff.
The guff invented contracts.
I look forward to seeing an example of your contracts.
Well, any contract is originally a guff contract.
All right. So,
well, if there's nothing further, gentlemen, your caravan awaits. They are ready to leave at your say-so, but you have a full 24 hours to do as you like.
Hot chicks?
I like hot chicks.
Hot chicks.
Are you telling him that?
He's like, I don't understand the phrase.
This little bug is just...
You guys are despicable.
All right, so you have your run of the town. If there's anything you want to do before heading off, if there's any things you want to know about the world, obviously not a lot of this has been made up yet, so we could workshop it on the fly. But if not, you guys can head to your caravan.
Is there a representation in this region of my church?
Yes, that's how you were contacted. So we'll say there's a small chantry.
Okay, I wish to retire there for the evening to touch base with any contacts there.
Okay. Does anybody else want to do anything specific?
I'm guessing I'm from the area, so I'm gonna bid farewell to a couple of close friends.
Okay. So you meet up with some close friends. Nesbitt?
Staying in the tavern for the time being.
You're also kind of on the clock.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else.
I'm going to look for and fight any students or faculty of Jokot Royal University, of which I've recently been asked to leave.
Intellectually?
So are you going to the university?
No, they would just be in town.
Okay, so you... Do you...
Just in general.
Just right, walking around?
Yeah.
Hey, you go to the school? What? All right,
well, let's,
fuck you.
Let's roll a D6. If it lands on 6, you run into somebody. Nope.
Piss.
Nope.
Yeah. Piss.
So okay. I'll just fight anyone.
Okay.
Piss.
That's a lot of ones. Yeah.
So I've created a randomizer for some characters. So I'm prepared if you guys want to step off book, which is not a thing in this, and meet somebody, let me know, and we can make it happen. But don't do it just to bust my balls.
I go to my local coffee shop. I play out a scene from Friends. I go home. And in the morning, we go to the caravan.
Mm-hmm. But for $10 a month, you too can bust Josh's balls.
It's very true.
I think it would be out of character for me to do anything, but I...
Oh, by the way, your church, as well as all banks, have a stone. It works the same for churches, but what banks do is to make sure that your earnings are centralized, that their bookkeepers rub to contact all of the bookkeepers and they share notes so that you have a line of credit associated with your total wealth. Some churches are rich enough to do the same thing, much like yours.
Good job, Max. I already hate you.
You're welcome.
So far, I think we're all terrible, actually. No, I hate all of us.
No, it's great. I love how much we hate.
Oh, fuck yeah. Off. Yes, that includes you.
No.
What?
I hate all of us. It's so good how much I hate all of us. There's not a likable one among us.
Just because I have a dumb voice.
I can't wait for Katie to sit down with some fucking magic girl transformation girl that everybody loves. That's the least Katie thing I could think of, actually.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. She wants to hit things with a hammer.
I am much more likely to be the magical girl.
The guff invented hate and magical girl.
So, unless there's any objection, the night passes.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
Sounds dope.
Yeah, first thing in the morning, you guys approach the caravan. So, at the caravan, there are 15 total people. They have various jobs on site. The person who is in charge of making sure this makes it to the dig site is not Nesbitt. Nesbitt's in charge of recruiting people. It is a cook who shares double duty, and the cook is a male. I rolled a 4, so he's a fraud. A male,
Maurice!
A male. Crazy old Maurice. A male fraud who is 44 years old. And
we grew up together. We were egg mates.
And is... And is voiced
part
by,
of the same brood.
Let's roll this. He is voiced by
Quebecois.
48. What is 40? Who is 48? Dumbledore.
Wait, Richard Harris or
Richard
Michael
Harris?
Gambon?
Richard Harris.
Okay.
Yeah. So his name is Crayson.
To go drinking with Richard Harris. Be a glory.
I think Peter O'Toole did that a lot and then died.
Yeah, they did that a whole lot. So as you approach, Crayson is like,
he's like, I waited a long time.
No, that's pretty.
That's pretty good. You're on point. You're real good.
You certainly took your time to get here.
Look, these guys, they have their own things to attend to. In addition to, it'll get done. We're good.
Ah, Christ, in your old scale skin.
You never quite know the right thing to say, do you?
You're still a prick.
Are we ready to go? I'd quite like to move before the food spoils.
By all means.
So you guys load up, and you're moving out, and it's a long trek through the desert. I mean, you have to go to the absolute edge of it, and you know that waiting for you is a dig site that has only just begun.
The Guff did not invent the desert.
Anything you didn't like, they didn't invent.
Yeah. So stupid.
I think the
they
only
did
thing
invent sand, yeah. But some idiot just like went crazy with the stuff.
I think the only thing the Guff invented was lying.
It takes you about 3 weeks, but you approach the border of Tulane and Gravor. You cross into Gravor, and you can immediately tell this is not a place with any kind of infrastructure. Even the way you took to get here, it was only at the last moment that you had to veer off of the path.
This is typically the most dangerous part of the journey. I apologize, but we have many times encountered rogues who saw the size of our caravan and ran away. However, given the size of this company, we are a bit more at risk, so that's why we are entering a way that is not so widely visible.
You travel through the woods. It's very spooky. There's lots of animal calls you may not recognize.
I roll to recognize.
Okay, yeah, roll. Give me like a nature, a path roll or whatever.
7.
Plus 5, because you are a guide. Well, no, you're an excavator. All right, so 7.
3. 4. You pretend to know anyway. Fuck you.
Everybody give me a roll. See what we got.
Also 7.
All right, 7. All right, yeah, that just animals you don't recognize.
I'm from here, and we are roughly similar.
That is a Carcady hawk.
I'm not concerned.
After traveling the woods for about 2 days, one night you're all staying up by the fire, getting to know each other, sharing small stories.
I hate all of you.
That kind of sucks. I like you.
I like the Harad over here. I want to be his friend.
Fuck you.
How hard is that to be his friend?
He is not gruff.
It's okay. He's not guilt.
Love you too, pal.
The guilt is the only one I even trust in this whole fucking thing.
Wise man. Very wise man.
You know who's good to trust? The Guff. The Guff invented trust.
Literally everyone other than you I trust.
You are the lady's dad in the big fat Greek wedding.
Oh, God. Wait, can I put like Clorox on here and...
Windex,
yeah. Just get +5 to anything?
Yeah.
Why is it on the table?
It's a Windex bottle full of water so I can spray off
for
the wet erase.
For the spray, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to draw something here.
So how do partially marked hexagons?
The Guff invented the hexagon.
That is very large.
Probably too large, but whatever.
I'm not wearing any armor, so that is not
You're
large
not?
Enough.
Funny no, story man. About armor.
That's not what I'm picturing.
Shut up. God, I hate this fucking Guff.
Your caravan is being pulled by several beasts that look like large lizards, like bearded dragons. They're good in the desert, but they're we can tell they're a little more nervous in the forest. They don't really need to be fed because they eat what flies around. And in the forest, there's more flying, but less visibility. Hmm. So they're very confused and unhappy. You guys park the caravan for the evening, and I drew out the two wagons. I'm going to put a campfire off to the side. There's about 15 of you.
How big are these hexagons?
Like 5 feet. I don't know why. So
Jesus.
Yeah, these are big. This is a big caravan. I made it too big. We're learning.
All right.
So there's a campfire and where you guys are, and let's put you around the campfire. Does that work for you?
As long as I'm the fire, I'm...
I feel like you don't have any problem getting the fire to start with Esmond here.
Just stay the fuck away from me.
I like this guy.
So the fire's burning. The caravan has its own guards.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you guys aren't expected to be the guards of the caravan.
My voice is just a nasally Jerry Seinfeld.
Mine's changing too much. I'm pissed off.
And
we'll get it.
On the far side of the caravan, to you, a guard falls down. You hear people start screaming. Then you hear the whip sound of an arrow going through the air. And another guard gets hit and falls.
I know that sound.
Krayson is responsible for this caravan. He says to you as he sits around the fire, he's like, oh, please don't panic. We've run into this kind of thing before elsewhere. We'll deal with this. He and the guards take off towards the shots.
Let's
run down.
10% of his caravan just fucking died.
From far off on your side of the caravan, you hear howling. Everybody give me a awareness check using intelligence.
21.
11.
8. 5.
All right, so we're going to have to roll battle readiness now. Battle readiness is the group's dexterity combined. And I'm assuming, based on your seating order, Keith is going to go first, then Pool, then Max, and then Liam. I don't think there's any reason to object
there
to that.
There is no reason not to
I'm pretty okay with that.
Okay.
Don't get close, by the way.
Keith, what's your dex?
3.
Pool?
3.
6?
2.
8?
0.
8. Okay. They have a battle readiness of 6. Group leader, who will be Nesbitt, give me a roll. Add your 8 to it. I'll add 6 to mine.
Okay. 25.
You go first. You guys rolled your awareness. You're prepared. 4 animals that look like koi wolves, like a crossbreed of koi wolves, but bigger, and they have short snouts.
Koi is in the fish?
As in the coyote.
That's badass.
Coyote?
Oh, okay.
Stupid. God damn it, Max.
Saying that wouldn't be badass, a wolf koi?
Oh, there's a wolf right up on me.
Oh, they snugged up real quick, huh?
You should have stayed next to me. Ah.
Am I just becoming Watto?
You kind of are. Yeah.
You see 4 wolves come out. They run up on you, and 2 of them can't fight.
Sorry.
2 of them run right up on Nesbitt and Esmond.
Not ideal.
You weren't there. You swap pieces.
Yeah. So they run right up on you. They're unique. The one that is running towards Giles is very mangy. It's missing patches of fur. There's one with a scar runs
Ew.
Up on. One with a scar runs right up on Nesbitt. There's one missing half of his tail runs up on Esmond. And
which half?
God damn it.
Lengthwise.
What, your Max all of a sudden?
That was such a Max thing to say. God damn it.
And the one that seems to be gunning for the Dr. Professor has 3 legs. Nesbitt gets to take a attack of opportunity against the wolf with the scar.
All right. Attack of opportunity. That's just a basic attack, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see how this goes. Plus dexterity, correct?
Yes.
16.
16 hits.
Nice.
I have a question before combat continues.
Please.
What's the deal with magic in your face? Do I take negatives?
He gets an attack of opportunity against you if you cast in his face.
Right.
Now, you can disengage. You can use that to move 1 square away so that you can cast.
All right.
Which is like shifting?
It's like shifting or guarded step.
I prefer the term disengage. I like that. Anybody has the capability of doing that, right?
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Except for some enemies can't, and there's ways to restrict
it. Yeah, but I like it. Okay.
You attack the one with the scar?
Yes.
You hit him. Deal damage.
All right. And to verify with a dagger, that's 1d4 plus strength?
Yes.
All right. 4.
All right. 4 damage. Okay, so now it is their turn. The mangy one, forget that. You go first. They don't first. No. Keith goes first. Now you get to act.
I don't have any ability to gain the upper hand in this situation. I would like to shift over, shouldering up to Esmond. Then I'm going to double strike.
Do it.
15.
15 hits. It's 2 attacks.
Oh, yes, that's true.
So 1's 15.
15 and 10.
10 misses.
And 4 again.
Okay. So he takes 4 damage. So he's been damaged twice. You tagged him twice on his way in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you motherfucker.
Yeah,
you got the drop on me.
Now it's their turn. One of them moves in, takes a bite at Giles. 17 natural. Hits, deals 8 damage.
Damn.
Ooh.
And you are grappled.
Ooh.
So grappling in this condition, you can't move unless you beat the grapple. I'm going to roll to see what his grapple score is.
Okay.
He gets a +4. And if you beat it as a swift action on your turn, you can move and attack. If not, you are stuck. Like, you can't move. You can only physically attack him with a melee attack if you can attack anybody.
Gross. Okay.
For his grapple, he gets a 15. Next one attacks. The one that's been hit twice by daggers attacks Nesbitt. 7 versus dodge.
My dodge is 14.
So that's a miss.
How do I get that?
I'm more slippery than you.
Dodge is your dex plus your int.
Got
plus
it.
10.
What's your dodge? What's everyone dodge?
14.
15.
All right. Next one goes to attack Esmond and misses. Next one goes to... So the one with 3 legs runs up on the guff with the shield, Mr. Kelton, and hits. So that's a natty 16 on the die.
Handily.
And he deals 6 damage, and you are grappled with a difficulty.
Oh, fuck.
You have a difficulty of a 19 to beat with grapple, so you can do it. And just so you know, those of you who are grappled, on their next turn, if they maintain the grapple, they deal 4 flat damage to you. Next is Giles. What do you do?
Well, first I'm going to try and break the grapple.
Do it.
Is it 12 plus anything?
It's 12 plus your dex or your intelligence.
I meet the grapple.
You're out. All right, if you meet it, you're out, yeah.
So I goes to the runner rules.
If you meet it, you beat it.
Yeah. Okay. That's the minimum that I have to hit. Okay. Yeah. So 15. So I beat that, and then I am going to disengage. So how does feature at will and?
So feature is passive. You just get it. Always. Okay.
And what are my? So it's move at will and swift.
You get free, immediate. Those things happen when it says they happen. So the basic turn is swift, move, attack, and character. If you want to have a character action.
Right.
But you can trade down from attack. So you can trade an attack for a move, and you can trade a move for a swift. So you can trade, you can have 3 swifts if you need. But you've already used a swift and a move. So you can have an attack or a move or a swift.
I'm going to cast Martyr on the Guff.
Professor Kelton.
Professor Kelton.
Dr. Professor, if you will.
I'm going to skin you and wear you one day.
So I'm
going to
cast Martyr on the Guff.
So what happens now is damage done to you is reduced as though you were wearing armor equal to your charisma.
Which is 1.
So it gets reduced by 1.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, but he also takes that damage.
I might want to switch my intellect and charisma.
Now would be the time.
I think I want to do that.
Do it.
All right.
Hey, have we been ignoring armor here? Damage reduction?
Have you?
Well, the only person who's been hit was me, and I have no damage reduction.
Well, I got hit with 6, but I have armor of 5.
Yeah.
Damn,
you take 1 damage.
You were tanky
as fuck.
I'll
take 1 damage?
Okay. Yeah, you take 1 damage, and now he's cast it on you, okay. And you have a shield
do that,
of 2,
then.
Basically, right?
Holy shit. You're super tanky right now, my bro.
Something has to deal 7 damage to you before it
hits. In addition to the damage I take, the damage I accumulate.
Giles has to keep track of the damage done to the Professor Kelton.
Correct.
So that he takes that
going
damage
forward.
And can accumulate it. Yeah, exactly.
I basically build up any damage he's taken as my charisma modifier, so it's a -2. For if 4 attacks happen consecutively to him, I've accumulated 8 damage that I can then release on someone.
Dope.
Yeah, you're like Bishop from X-Men.
Yeah.
Now, out of the woods.
God damn it.
You see 2 Guff. They both have swords. One is wearing a vest and the other one is wearing a hat. And otherwise, they're just wearing ragged clothes.
Is it a nice hat?
No. It looks like one of those cartoon crushed top hats with the flappy top that's been ripped free.
Dope. I want that hat.
All right.
That's a good hat.
So the one with the vest runs up behind the wolf with the scar that's in front of Nesbitt. And the one with the hat kind of skirts around the wolf without a tail to get at Esmond. He takes a swing. +1 versus dodge against Esmond. 18.
Whoop. Ooh, that hits. That fucking hits.
3 damage.
2 damage.
What are you bargaining?
No, I know.
You
roll the bargain.
I got natural armor, biatch.
What do you say to 1? 1 sound good to you?
Take that knife. Put it in your own chest.
I got a deal for you.
You kill yourself. Save us some time.
All right, here. I have a real dumb question. How much damage does fire do if you step into it?
Like the campfire?
Yeah.
Yes. Very important.
Let's make it per round.
Okay.
Let's say it
should it do less damage to the core fire.
It does less damage to me no matter what.
Okay.
I want to know what it is.
He has like flame of affinity or whatever. Let's say it is 2d4 per round.
Okay.
Which will represent as a die 8, but I reroll ones because I hate rolling 2d4.
Deal.
Okay. Dr. Professor Kelton Mandergrove's turn.
Do not worry, friends. I am here. Mr. Trod, please take the shot.
You get 1 basic attack.
I get
+1.
He can't. Or he invokes.
Don't do it to me.
What's your basic? Mine's a die 8.
I'm a d4 +2.
I'll give it to the Inquisitor. Squirrely, take this shot.
The one in front of you.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with the wolf with 3 legs that is currently biting me, but not very well.
Fucking love the way that you define these wolves. Okay, that's 8.
8 versus the wolf. Yeah. That is a miss.
Yeah.
Up next, you see 2 figures lean out from near the trees.
I was wondering how these wolves were shooting arrows at our
Well, those arrows came from the other side.
Piss!
Yeah, so, and everybody ran off in that direction.
Yeah, that's where the fucking Dumbledore went.
It's almost more vulgar that you say piss instead of fuck.
Piss. I usually go with cunts.
I stick to piss at work. Although maybe...
Yeah, I have to dial it back to fuck at work.
They can shoot over the wolves because they're short, and they take a shot at Esmond Trott and at Giles, the Inquisitor. So the first one takes a shot at Esmond. Hits.
Hits.
Second one takes a shot at the Inquisitor. Misses. So Esmond takes 2 damage.
Who's been hit?
Me, but barely. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I got a wolf on me.
Your excavator.
Did
and
you
your
try and break your grapple?
I gotta wait till the next round, right?
Are you grappling?
No, you already went. You asked
but it would have been
go.
A swift action. If you want to try to break your grapple, go ahead.
And that's plus dex, right?
Yep, and you can move then.
And what was the number to go against?
You just screamed at someone to shoot it, which I kind of like.
And he missed.
The number was like 17.
I think it was 17. 15 plus 17
meets 2.
Yay. All right, let's say it passed because I don't remember what it was. You guys have to track.
I think it was 17. Okay. I think it was 17. I think his was 17. Mine was 15.
Okay,
and we both met.
You are free. If you want to disengage and move, you can.
I will, just because I can do fun things if I'm adjacent to an ally. I'm not afraid of a fucking 3-legged wolf. I just want to be near this guy.
I feel abandoned now.
Esmond Trott, it is finally your turn.
I'm going to shift right back into that fucking fire.
Okay, you shift into the fire.
I'm going to do my cone 3 attack.
Okay.
The Tolden Inquisitor is impressed.
That he just ran into the fire?
Yeah. So I raise one eyebrow.
I'm using Fire Blast at the Guff and the wolf in front of me.
What does that do?
Fire Blast is 1d6 plus Charisma.
To a cone 3?
Yeah, cone 3.
Okay,
that's baller.
That's awesome. So roll once.
13.
13 against dodge, correct?
Yes.
The melee guy and the wolf. Hits. Hits both of them.
All right. Shit. And it's just 1d6.
Roll the damage against each of them.
So you roll the hit once, then roll the damage individually?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is plus 4 on each, so 6 damage. One with a hat.
All right, so
and then 6 damage to the
wolf without a tail.
Right. I will say this now, because I'm using my hands and of leaping flame, I have plus 2 to hit next attack.
Okay, well shit.
Nice.
You hear somebody yell, and a guy walks out of the woods with a shield on and a helmet. He's a guff, and his helmet is structured in such a way that he's cut out divots in it so his tusks can fit. He's a guff warrior. He kind of resembles an African wild boar a little bit. His tusks curl backwards around, and he's large and looks like a badass.
Hey, fuckface, why not get a guff helmet, huh?
Now it is Nesbitt's turn.
I'm pretty sure, in this case, the best I can do is just keep on stabbing this fucking wolf. Try double strike again.
Against the scarred wolf.
Against the scarred wolf.
Double daggers in his face.
A 15 and an 18.
Both hit.
Yeah.
Boosh. Deal your damage.
That would be 6.
6 damage?
Yep.
He is dead.
Yeah.
So you fucking... Tell me how you kill him.
So I see this guy. He's got 2 ears, right? I got 2 knives. Pointy ends here. I make the pointy ends touch. Just angle them up there. Point at some ears. Get them pointy ends together.
Yep. Never mind. I fucking love this guilt.
all right. So it's the wolves' turn. And one of them runs up on Giles to attack. And the next one runs up on Professor Kelton Mandegrove. And the next one runs next to the fire.
Yeah.
The one with no tail runs up.
He's got 3 legs. Does he run?
Near the fire. And he's going to try to attack you, but because he's kind of afraid of fire, he's going to take a negative 2 to the attack.
Nice. That's very good.
So the mangy wolf attacking our Inquisitor hits. The wolf with no tail attacking our excavator misses. The wolf with 3 legs attacking the professor misses.
Of course it misses, my fucking martyr target.
Giles takes 8 damage.
Jesus, man.
And is grappled again.
Fuck.
Grappled with a difficulty of 7.
Oh, Christ.
Bandits with the swords turn.
Where the fuck are the bandits with the swords?
They're the ones, the one with the hat, the one with the vest.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
one more comes out of the...
Oh, good. We were doing it so well before.
Of the woods. Wearing a hood, but pulling up his pants like he was in the middle of peeing when this whole thing started. And because of the angle, they're still ganging up on Nesbitt. He's the only one close enough for them to attack.
I really love it when things clump up together. Yeah. Makes me very happy.
Yeah, they think they're doing well, but...
They go to attack, and the one running out of the woods is like, I'm sorry! I was... It doesn't matter, I'm here! It's probably jerking it.
I'm jerking it.
Like,
J-E-R-K-I-N, like leather jerkin?
No, he's wearing a hood.
Jamaican cuisine?
First one misses Nesbitt. Second one, he gets 11 versus dodge. Misses.
14.
Yeah. And the third one runs up to the fire and has a sword, so he just goes straight at Esmond Trod.
All right.
Misses. They suck. I don't know if you know.
Yeah. Thank
yeah,
God.
They're rolling balls ass.
Next is Dr. Professor
Wait,
Kelton Mandergrove.
I think I got skipped.
Did you?
Yes.
He hasn't taken
not
a turn.
Done anything.
You did get skipped. Let's fix that now. So it is Giles' turn.
All right. I'm going to try and break my grapple.
Okay.
It was a seven.
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 Yeah, difficulty of seven. You beat
yeah,
it with a 98.
Okay.
All right.
So that's my swift.
Swift.
So move, I'm going to move back so I'm adjacent to...
You're
going to
disengage.
Disengage.
Closer one. To Kelton?
Yep.
Okay.
And then I'm going to cast...
Can I slip just one arm around him?
Yeah, so right now you guys are split into two groups. There's...
On either on one, side of the yeah, fire.
On one side of the fire, there's...
This is also...
Well,
this is
on
also
one side the, of the fire, and then
the worst pairing of both groups.
Oh yeah, it's about as bad as it could be.
Like,
yeah.
It's a melee fighter and a ranged character both ways
fighting back to back. Yeah,
I hate to yeah. tell this, you two might need to become really good friends.
I'm gonna cast Burning Ray on myself.
Okay, to heal yourself.
To heal myself, I don't have to roll to do that. Right. I just roll a die 8.
So, plus your charisma, right?
Plus my charisma, boom. Which is 2. So, that's 3.
So, you regain 3 health.
That's a hit.
That's good, man.
That's a hit. That's
but it also puts Acolyte's Reward on myself, which gives me a plus 2 to all defenses.
Oh, holy
now
shit.
That's good.
Until the end of your next turn.
I want to fuck that ability. It's so good.
I get that whenever I heal anybody.
Well,
I get a slight buff.
Holy crap, really?
On my defense. Well, it's because...
Man, our game is so good.
Well, it's because my biggest healing spell is to pull damage towards
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So building up a defense against that
is really important.
Is ideal.
Yeah.
All right, next it would have been the bandit's turn, but they already went. Dr. Professor.
Oh, shit, I'm not worried no more.
How much damage would I take walking through the fire?
So much. More than any attack.
So we don't actually have a good answer.
I watched Oprah run across coals.
I would say that if you don't end your turn within the fire,
mm-hmm.
you don't take any damage.
Okay.
I jumped
you kind
over
of like
fires.
Yeah, you leap
over.
Over.
I've
yeah.
jumped plenty of fires.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Okay.
Now you're
I like that rule, by
yeah,
the way.
Mm-hmm. You're also in melee with an enemy. If you try to just move, you invoke attacks of opportunity.
Okay. So. I am going to ask Giles to take the shot again. But I'm going to ask him to hit the wolf coming up on him.
Okay. So he's like, take
basic attack.
Shoot at the mangy.
And you
wolf.
Get plus 1 because of my charisma.
Oh, great. Since I disengaged and got close to you. Great. Okay.
No, that's defense. You also get my charisma.
Oh,
attack.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, he has an ability called Phalanx where if you're adjacent to him, you get plus 1 to your damage.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm rolling.
Ooh.
Hits.
Hits the mangy wolf.
Mangy wolf.
Well, that's 21, actually, with his...
To hit?
Yeah.
It hits.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yes. How droll.
What do I aim? Plus 2. This is 6 damage.
Okay, 6 damage to the mangy wolf.
To the mangy wolf.
And I would like to use my hazing charge, which is a scene action. Pick up creature and move your speed. Creature invokes attacks of opportunity from allies. So I want to pick up the 3-legged wolf and move him across the fire to my double stabby gelt friend.
Oh my god. So you're going to pick him up.
You're going. No, this fucking owns. Holy shit, I'm into this.
All right. My favorite character out of combat? Not you. In combat, currently you.
What do you mean, man? We are good friends.
So you're going to make him invoke attacks of opportunity from Nesbitt and Esmond Trod.
All three of them. Everybody gets an attack on this 3-legged wolf.
So you drag him through the fire.
I don't get to use magic, though, right?
No, you have to use a melee attack.
All right. Well, that's not great for me.
Hey, it's a thing.
Well, I mean, you still get to make an attack. That
just
you
for
made.
Just for,
I guess.
For being fair, how do I get an attack?
He's going to turn him, basically.
Okay.
And you can make a melee attack, but you don't have a melee weapon. You could just try to kick him, I guess, or
poke him with an arrow.
Use your bow as a staff.
What would be the?
It
doesn't
I would
really
say
matter.
It's
what
a
I'm trying to hit
it's
him, getting
just trying to punch
you...
him for like a die 4. You'd be better off doing that than risking breaking your bow and putting it in the fire.
Right.
I'm just trying to get him.
True.
So I'm going to roll for dexterity and then do a die 4. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. You grab this wolf by the face. I'm assuming.
And I'm
you're
so
like,
into
by
this.
By
I'm
two
so
of his three legs.
And you say, "You're a bad boy."
Yeah. Fuck you, wolf.
and you drag him through the fire over closer to his friends so that you can be closer to yours.
Stab this fucking wolf, Gelt, because I think the man boss looks like an asshole.
He does. He does not look friendly.
As a guff, I'm like, you're trying too fucking hard.
you say that. Yeah. Jesus Christ. All
right. He takes 3 attacks of opportunity melee from Nesbit, from our fucking Esmond in the fire, and from Giles.
Do we still get the +1 to charisma from his bonus?
From attacks that he grants. That's an interesting idea. I'm going to say yes.
And okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a granted attack because it's an attack of opportunity, but in this situation, I'll say yes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would make the argument.
Wait, yeah. Did I? 3, 11. No.
All right, next.
19.
Hit. Esmond.
14.
Hit.
5.
3.
3 legs, takes 8 damage. That fucked him up.
Yes! Yes. That
fuck you, wolf!
He is not happy about what just happened. And nobody's ever grabbed him back. Like, that's a big deal.
Well, unless he was born with 3 legs, someone grabbed something.
He might have been born with 3
grab
legs.
Grab him by the scruff of his neck. Drag him through a campfire.
I like that you him held him up to us as you walked by.
you just drag a wolf, you guys take your kicks at it. Like.
Fantastic. A+. I love it.
Now it is the bowman's turn, and they move to get better shots. One takes a shot against Giles, and the other one takes a shot against Professor Dr. Kelton Mandergrove IV, Esquire. So against Giles, that hits, I'm assuming. So this is +3, 18 to dodge. Okay, next one is against Professor Kelton. That's 9 + 3, so 12.
And -7, right?
-7?
The one I have, well, my armor and my shield, you said I had a...
No, that's damage reduction.
That's damage reduction, okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. They just hit.
Okay, they hit.
No, he's got 14.
14 dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't hit.
Oh, okay, so he misses.
Yeah.
With a 13. So one hits Giles for 2 damage.
And Nesbit, you get +1 to defense as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're adjacent to...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it is...
I do believe it's the
Esmond's.
Tanks. Oh, is it mine?
It is Esmond's turn.
All right.
Oh, also, I'm sorry, at the beginning of your turn, you take damage.
Yes.
From being in a fire. So, 4 damage.
I take no damage. Sorry, guys, I'm burning you. So I'm going to do... So there's one roll against everyone, and then damage is rolled individually, correct?
That's right.
Hits. 17 plus 5. 8 damage. Yep. To the guy with the top hat?
He takes 8 damage. Got it.
Don't burn his hat, man.
You got to keep that hat.
10 damage to the dog.
To the
wolf with no tail.
With three. Oh, the no-tail wolf.
Yeah. No-tail wolf.
How much damage? 10?
10.
Mm-hmm.
He is gone. Catches fire, yelps, and dies.
It's like the fucking Hunger Games in here.
What?
Shit's catching fire.
What the listeners didn't see is the little dance Max just did.
He did finger guns, and it was very
in the
impressive.
Air.
Finger guns in
he did the Yosemite
air.
Sam finger guns.
My biscuits is burning.
It is the leader's turn, and he runs up and tries to tag Nesbit.
Damn it.
So he comes around, forms a group with his allies, granting them phalanx, because he is also a guff, and takes a swing at Nesbit with his axe.
I fucking hate axes.
Next.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Holy shit.
So he crits and does 13 damage.
Oof.
I'm going to use that not so fast on the main guy, which is going to immobilize him until the end of my next turn.
Doesn't it do more than that?
An enemy hits or misses you or an adjacent ally with a melee attack, which he
That's
just
the trigger.
Did. That's the trigger.
But isn't it an attack that you have to land?
Let me try that then.
Because
it's immediate.
The extra dodge, and you get a weapon damage on top of the...
Yeah.
But do you have to be in melee range? Because it only says adjacent ally. Not that they're
That's
in melee range.
That's true.
Yeah, I think you have to be in combat with that
character. We have to change that.
Damn.
Had we arranged ourselves better, this would be going very differently.
Well, someone decided to rearrange the
Hey, gonna be real. Did you want to sit next to him? Because I did.
Now it's Nesbit's turn.
Okay. Nesbit, there are people next to you all of a sudden. That's pretty dope.
There's a bunch. I believe I will be targeting the bandit with the vest. Okay. Because fuck vest.
Are we hitting on vest now?
leather vests.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Like a nice three-piece suit, though. Still fine?
I assume he's just wearing a vest.
The guy with the hood who ran out pulling up his pants, he's like, why all that pageantry?
I am pretty new to role-playing still. Attack of opportunity, how does that present itself?
An attack of opportunity, if somebody tries to move out of a threatened square without disengaging, if somebody tries to do a range attack while you're adjacent to them, and if somebody tries to stand up while they're knocked down.
Okay.
I'm going to go after the guy with the vest because both myself and Kilton, I'm sorry,
no,
Dr.
You got
Professor.
It. You, no, fuck, you call me Kilton. You fucking stab wolf. You see, I dragged that fucking wolf through fire.
Get a room, you two.
Plunging strike. If an ally is adjacent to the target and able to attack, I have the upper hand with this attack. Due to my backstab feature, when I have the upper hand, my attacks with one-handed melee weapons and ranged weapons count as sneak attacks.
And for listeners, sneak attacks in the system, you deal an extra die 6 of damage for every point in the damage stat that you have. So you have, what, 2 in strength, which is the damage
two
stat
in strength.
For melee
yes.
attacks.
Shit.
If you hit.
Also, you have plus 2, right?
Yeah, because you have the upper hand.
That's
yeah.
upper hand in general.
Plus 5. Piss. That would be a 9.
Against the guy with the vest?
Yes.
That hits.
Oh! Are you serious? He's literally just wearing a vest.
Nice. 12.
Fuck, that hurt. This is the first time this guy's been damaged, and that... You look like you just took the wind out of his sails 100%. Like, he thought the guy with the hood was fucking up, and now he realized, like, maybe I don't even belong in this group. Like...
I should have used both knives. It looks like he got 2 fucking lungs.
Plus 1 momentum.
Plus 1 momentum. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And also, Max, plus 1 momentum for dragging that wolf through the fire.
Okay.
That shit was dope. Now it's the wolf's turn. So one of them is like, oh, fuck this guy. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get Giles. The mangy wolf is like, I'm going to bite you. And this time when I grab you, it's going to stick. So he tries to hit you, hits, and deals 5 damage. So you're grabbed now, again, with a difficulty of 8.
Okay.
Next one attacks Dr. Professor, Kelton Mandergrove, the guff phenom, and misses. And that's it. All right, Giles.
All right, I'm going to try and break my grapple.
Let's see it.
Beat an 8. You fucking didn't, did you?
That's a 7.
You can't move, and the only attacks you can do are melee attacks against him.
I guess I'll fucking do that.
Punch him.
What else am I gonna do?
Try to punch hit him, man.
It's a 4 plus a 3.
7. You miss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You missed fucking punching a guy that's holding you?
It's a wolf. He's like shaking the shit out of him.
I'm just saying my heels don't require a plus to hit.
No,
I should be able to heal myself.
If you want to heal yourself, you can.
That's all I fucking wanted to do.
Okay, go ahead and do that.
Okay. Great.
As a fellow ranged character, I understand your plight.
Then I'm going to heal myself.
God damn it.
Another one.
Son of a bitch.
So you got 3 health back?
Yes.
Okay.
Fucking god damn it.
Edwin with the high beef rolls.
I gave you a D8 for healing instead of
D6. I know. And it has not worked out at all.
Hey, fucking church guy, in maybe fact, here's the buy thing. A knife next time.
I think the D8 makes the one feel worse.
It does. Absolutely.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does.
The melee fighter's turn. The guy with the hat, the guy with the hood, the guy with the vest. So the one with the vest attacks Nesbitt again because he knows that this shit is going down. It's one of you two are going to make it out of this alive. So he attacks Nesbitt. So plus one. So 17. Does that hit?
Yes.
Okay, 17 hits.
What's your defenses?
14 plus phalanx is 15.
Okay, he does a sure. die 8.
Damn.
10 damage.
Oh.
I was gonna heal you, but I keep rolling fucking ones on me. I'm about to die.
Sorry, I have 5 health.
Nesbitt, what are you at?
3.
Okay, well, this one can the one with the hood can only attack you.
Yep.
So he does.
Oh, no.
Looks like he's hitting me.
Yeah, he takes you down to 0.
You have an interrupting attack, though, don't you?
No, he not has to so be fast. In combat with the enemy, though.
He's not in combat with either the one with the hood or the vest.
He was in combat with the one with the vest. You could have used it then.
Oh, crap.
This is our first encounter.
Yeah.
You want to use it now.
Not so fast.
Fuck that motherfucker up first.
It stands the chance of canceling 10 damage.
That would be real
good.
That
would be really great.
All right, and it's my dex. 13.
Hit.
1d8 plus 2.
1.
Ah! 3. Oh, fuck, I'm so
How much
sorry.
Damage does he take?
3.
Okay, so he takes 3 damage.
But now, he's also immobilized until the end of my next turn.
He is, but the damage is not mitigated because it didn't kill him.
Yeah.
It could have. It could have.
Okay.
But it didn't. Nesbitt is down on the ground. He is at 0 health. At the beginning of your next turn, you lose 5 momentum.
Whoa.
Until you get healed.
I go after him.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, the sword bandit with the hat rounds the fire to flank Giles, the Inquisitor.
Oh, good.
8?
Misses.
Okay, he misses. Professor Kelton Mandergrove.
Professor Kelton Mandergrove. Esmond, please take the shot.
So, Burning Lance. This is not going to work out.
No,
that's
5.
That's 5 plus 7.
5 plus 7 12. Is that hits.
All right. 7 damage.
The mangy wolf fucking dies.
Yay.
Zap.
Boom. Goodbye.
Thank Christ.
No, you think thank Barathus. But really, thank Kelton. Up next are the bowmen. The one with the goggles targets the fire mage because he can see you better because of the goggles. Mm-hmm. And he saw that shit that just happened and he's getting nervous.
And because you're well lit because you're on fire.
So the one with the yellow cape targets Dr. Professor Kelton Mandergrove. That is a 12 versus dodge.
14.
The one versus Esmond Trott. Miss. Esmond Trott starts his turn in fire, mm-hmm. So he's going to take fire damage.
Yes.
6 fire damage.
No, I don't. 1 from armor, 5 for fire resist.
I think, does armor count for...
Definitely.
I would say
so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's count it. Yeah, you're right, so. You're right.
If I stood in that fire, it'd be much worse it than must someone be, yeah. wearing an armor, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
I will not stand in that fire.
I have a question. I have a question for you. How much do you love me?
5. Just the amount of health.
Give me a visual description of where
you're. Alright, I just stepped fully out of the fire. I am unscathed somehow.
how are your clothes doing?
I don't know. I don't even care. I'm a big, giant
crocodile. They're naked crocodile up in this bitch.
They're burning. They're rags. Oh, yeah. I don't give a shit.
I refuse to be saved by a naked crocodile.
And grasping at the flames that are on my clothes.
Love that he went even further Seinfeld.
Yeah. I'm just gonna...
What's the deal with naked flaming crocodiles?
I roll a natural 17 plus 2.
Minus 4.
So 18.
So 18? With the minus for him providing cover. That hits.
Natural 1. 5 damage.
He is not down, but it looks like he doesn't even know what's going on anymore. Up next is the leader.
Well, at least he's probably not fucking hit me with that axe again.
No. So you're down, so he's going to step over you. You would be difficult terrain, but he can move further than that and takes a swing at Professor Mandergrove.
That doesn't give me an attack of opportunity, right?
No, it does
not. He stepped into a threatened square with you.
Yeah.
Misses.
Yes.
There is one wolf
There's
left.
There's a three-legged wolf.
Yeah, they got dragged through the fucking
dragged
fire.
Through the fire. That's the one that's still there.
Nesbitt, it is your turn, but you're down, so you lose 5 momentum.
Dope.
It is the wolf's turn. One attacks Kelton. 12, miss. Giles' turn.
I would like to disengage.
You move away from the sword bandit with the hat, who just looks like he's out of his mind.
I'd like to try healing myself again. Or should I heal Giles?
You should probably heal Nesbitt so he stops
Nesbitt,
losing.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
You are Giles.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to heal Nesbitt. Plus 7.
Plus 7.
You gain 7 health.
Nice.
And you wake up. You're knocked down beneath the leader.
Okay.
And because we both know that you're a Gelt, that's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, as a swift action, do you end your martyr?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Do you have any martyrdom saved up?
No. Every attack against him missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
He took 2 damage, and it was before I cast martyr on him.
Next, it's the guys with the swords. They don't know that Nesbitt is back in the game.
I'm still just fucking laying here.
So the one with the hat moves up on Giles and takes a swing, even though he looks just fucking out of his mind and misses. Next one takes a swing at Dr. Professor, hits, and deals 8 damage to Professor Mandergrove. The next one doesn't have a good shot at anybody. He goes to move around to take a swing at Professor Mandergrove, and he is flanking when he does so. Hits.
Ugh.
Does 7 damage to Professor Mandergrove.
Damage reduction might be real good right now.
Yeah. I hope it's very good because I hope it gives tanks the confidence to really...
Really run
just
in?
Just take hits
man.
For people.
Did you take 7 damage or 2?
2.
The Dr. Professor.
Okay. If I throw the leader into the fire, will that mess up the Gelt?
How can you throw him into the fire?
Unstoppable force? I can move him 1. I was hoping I could move him into the fire.
I think you move him in the direction that he's facing.
Damn.
Okay. Is the idea. So you would just push him away from you.
Okay. I don't like him. I'm going to attack.
Okay. Attack him.
22. Natural 20.
Wait. It's a 90-20. It's a crit.
Yeah, nat 20. Yeah.
You hit automatically and deal max damage.
Yes.
My damage. Yeah. So that's 10, right?
Well, I don't know.
1 DA plus 2?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's 10 damage.
Your tusks make you look like a pussy.
Your tusks?
Your tusks. I can't speak words.
Why would you go into battle wearing a tux?
Yeah, this guy's just wearing a fucking vest, though.
Okay. The bowmen, their turn, and they haven't even been hit.
Oh, good. Them.
Let's see. They're going to move slightly to give them good open shots. One takes a shot at Esmond Trott, the flaming naked crocodile, and crits.
Ooh, all right.
And does 8 damage.
All right.
The next one takes a shot at Giles. 15 hits.
Wait, nope. Nope.
He healed.
I healed him plus two defenses.
17.
Miss.
Yes.
Nice.
All right.
I'm alive.
Okay. Now, Esmond Trod, what do you do?
So I'm going to use a Burning Lance on the... This is the hatted guy, not the vested guy.
So you take a -4.
Yes, I do. Natural 19. So 8.
8 damage against the bandit with the hat.
Yes.
He is dead.
Fuck.
Yes.
Ignite his hair on fire, and it cooks into his skulls, and his eyes burst out of his head.
But the hat's okay, right?
I would like to have started
the flames
spell.
Just, like, make the flap on the top of the hat just...
Sweet. Okay, the leader takes a swing at...
How are the leader and Nesbitt sharing a space once I rest him?
Nesbitt got healed and opened his eyes. That's all that's happened.
I'm still laying on the ground.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, great. I love this.
So the leader takes a swing at Dr. Professor Mandergrove.
Oh!
Natty 1.
Whiff.
What happens to him?
That's it.
Well, unless any of us have a special
I was going to say, Natty 1, you should give him like a bloody nose or something.
That's what momentum is for. So if you spend momentum and succeed, or if you spend momentum and whiff, some shit happens. Oh. So that round's over. I think this is, we're a little bit past the halfway point. I want to hear you as players, what do you think so far of the balance of this?
I'm really liking it.
As the one who's been reduced to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just started out in a horrible ass position. Somebody set me at a bad place at the campfire.
I'm sorry. It is my fault. I just didn't want to sit by Professor Bullshit.
Doctor,
you don't want to sit next to the guy who gives you a phalanx.
No, no. Here's the thing. Combat has completely changed my opinion of who he is as a person.
I will say that I, having never been able to take advantage of my offensive capabilities, I wish I'd gone double step radiance.
But I feel that was positioning and the fact that we haven't really been able to glom on anything. I will say this.
It's going to take a lot of turns to get everyone up to full.
I think the biggest difference now between what we're doing now and what we were doing is the dodge and damage reduction separation. And I think that is the thing that we hit out of the park the most this time.
I agree.
So
I like that.
That's one of my big worries is that it would be too overpowered, but it doesn't feel like it's overpowered.
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
No.
What about as your characters? Like, so imagine this from your character's perspective. You're at this campfire. All of the guards for this caravan go off in another direction. And now this very coordinated group of killers comes out of the woods to try to get you. You've never fought alongside any of these people before. How does Nesbitt feel about this?
Oh, yeah. No, this is completely unreasonable. This is not what was expected going into this situation. The organization is not bad. Everybody's figuring each other out at this point. So,
and you really got the short end of the stick.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, what about Giles? You've been singled out multiple times because of your position.
Correct.
But have not gone down.
I would say that I feel that as the healer in this situation, that there's not currently in this combat enough of a reason to have a dedicated tank. Like, there's no reason for people to attack the tank over anyone else.
Except for positioning.
Apart from positioning.
Because right now there are four enemies on your tank.
But at the start of combat, that's random.
He wasn't the
nobody would have known that. And he was the furthest from
And he literally had to run through to run a through fire a carrying a dog. A foe.
Although,
in order to get there.
When he
Which,
did that.
Kudos to the tank for doing that as much as fuck a guff.
Heck of a move.
All right, I'm also going to say this. Max, for maybe the least amount of experience in role-playing games, you're doing just some great moves, my dude. You're fucking killing it.
But I feel that as four enemies adjacent to the tank, there should be more of a penalty of attacking anyone but the tank.
I almost think one of the ideas is that disengaging from a tank should be harder than disengaging from someone else.
Max explicitly went command core, not citadel. And command has things. If he didn't go command, he wouldn't have been able to grant attacks to you guys this entire time.
But we've missed on most of them.
Yes, but...
But that's rolls. That's not the game.
That's the dice.
Well, I did give one to Liam, which saved you, right?
Yeah, that destroyed that guy.
And then I destroyed another guy, and I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right. One of those kills really goes... One of my three kills goes to you.
So Giles, as an inquisitor, sent here to protect Tolden interests, how does this stack up against his experience?
I would say that I'm used to more one-on-one, more calculated attacks, taking advantage of people who are not prepared for the attack, more of an assassin style. As a result, this is kind of out of my element, working amongst a team in which people are able to target me, and I can't just pick off the people targeting other people.
What about you, Max? How do you feel as in this role?
Kelton couldn't be happier with what's going on right now. He's just fucking psyched.
He thinks, so, as a player, I mean, like, what have you? How much damage have you taken?
Unfortunately, I have taken 6 points of damage.
Eat a dick.
But as a medieval scholar, like 40% of that was drinking and fighting, so he's just couldn't be happier. He's getting to swing his axe. He likes Nesbitt and Esmond a lot better than he did starting off. Giles hasn't really done shit, so he's just like Tolden.
Well, Giant hasn't healed you.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done anything. I gave him a shot.
I healed the fucking rat.
That will show itself soon.
Yeah, that's just going to matter in a moment. So what about you, Liam, the player?
Oh, there's a lot of interesting things. I have opinions on the way the blast radius works and if it's going to hit friendlies. Like, if there's a talent or a thing you can do to cast directly next to someone, that's going to become incredibly important. Without that, using a cone is less useful immediately, because you always have to take a step back, and then the likelihood of there being a friendly involved is really high. So low levels, I don't really see that being useful. But if you can get a bonus or something where you can ignore that and just go, bah! And like fire breath someone, that could be really cool. But I'm not really worried about that because we're super low.
And your other options are decent too.
I want to be able to use that cone more, and trying to maneuver myself into doing that has been a little difficult. But I don't think that's a thing that's something we can solve later in a path rather than deciding that that's a broken thing.
And this and this combat is not representative.
Yeah. No.
Even asking your opinions, I'm like, I just kind of want to feel you out.
Also, as Esmond Trod, he walked into fire to insulate himself from damage.
Pretty
cool. Ignored all damage from the fire. And then just roasted motherfuckers. He's a damage dealer, and all he's looking for is to take down foes. And he's trying to pick the targets that are attacking soft targets. He's doing what he does.
Awesome.
And I'm really enjoying.
He's
command.
In the moment.
Okay, I would say we're about halfway done, even though 6 enemies still remain. So let's start again, Nesbitt. It is your turn, top of the round. You are awake. You are beneath the leader's legs. What do you do?
The leader is standing over top of me.
I would like to take a time right now. How does momentum work again? Just so we could put it out there.
Momentum is, it is your experience in the sense it allows you to progress in the game. You can spend it in combat to get a d6 to add to your attack rolls and
not
skill
to damage
rolls.
To attack.
Not to damage, to attack and skill checks. And if you fail, it's an epic fail.
Yes.
A critical fail. Also, you gain momentum from completing scenes or story moments or doing fun stuff.
Before I go, the archers are the only ones who haven't taken damage, correct?
Correct. The guy with the hood has not taken damage either.
The guy with the hood has not taken damage.
None.
I need cloth because I am naked right now.
That's true.
Okay. The leader got a pretty solid hit on him earlier.
What's your endurance, Liam?
Do we know?
The leader got a good hit on Kelton. He did take a big hit, but he seems very
sturdy.
He's very in the game still.
Okay. All right. The Gelt racial scene ability. Rising attack. Move half your speed and make a basic attack at any point in the movement without provoking an opportunity attack.
Okay.
Can be done while knocked down. You are standing at the end of the movement.
Shit.
Oh my god.
So,
you could move into a flanking position.
Does anyone remember when we made that attack? We're like, how many times are we going to be able to use that ever?
Apparently, the first combat.
Yeah, this is not intentional. He would step over you to get to
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
To get fucked up.
All right. So, using 3 momentum.
Ooh, shit.
Holy shit.
Should it be 3 or 2?
Here's the thing, Keith. I'm going to tell you to go hard. That's my advice to you at everything, at every point in your entire life. Go hard. If things go poorly, I'm still going to barbecue that motherfucker.
All right.
I don't care about the rat.
So as I am raising myself up and darting around, I say to the leader, "You think you can keep me down? You nuts." And throw my blade up between his legs.
I'll give you the upper hand for this. So +2.
That's a surprise.
All right, +2. Okay.
Lower hand.
And shit, I said, if
fuck
I miss
him
this shit,
up, fuck him.
So that's a d20 +2 plus what's your regular attack?
3 for dexterity.
So 5 plus 3d6. So d20 plus 3d6 plus 5.
Even if I fucking throw a 2, I want to be able to.
Okay. Let's see it. Let's do it.
Bear in mind, it's a dagger, so if I throw a 1, it's a crit.
This guy, you.
Oh
he's
my
not,
god.
Oh shit.
In fact, my new favorite thing that would happen would be exactly that.
My favorite thing would be a 2.
6.
6. Not super hot. Plus 10.
16.
Plus 5.
Plus 5.
So 21.
That hits.
Gonna say, that momentum.
Yep.
Sort of did the thing.
Yep.
Worth it.
And 5 damage.
5 damage.
You have the upper hand, motherfucker.
With sneak attack?
Oh, I forgot. You said upper hand.
You have the upper hand.
Oh, you would.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
+6. 11.
So 11 damage. Good hit.
Moving around to behind the guy with the vest.
Okay, so you're now flanking the guy with the vest with Dr. Professor Kelton Mangrove. Yeah, you feel like that hit, his armor kind of, it glanced off his codpiece. It hurt, but not as much as it could have. Next is...
But you standing.
I'm standing.
Next is the wolf's turn, and the only one left is the one with three legs that has been dragged through the fire. It is this wolf. You can tell, I mean, it's only got three legs. It's been through
His life
shit.
Sucked before.
Hey, you know what,
it
wolf?
Is a survivor.
You know what, wolf? Fuck you.
No.
And your shit, wolf.
This wolf is the grunt from Gundam Unicorn that, like, ran in and still put up a fight.
Yeah. So
is that My Little Pony?
Fuck you and your bullshit, wolf.
All right, he attacks Kelton.
Fuck you.
And misses. Next
fuck
is
you,
Giles the Inquisitor. Chosen Inquisitor.
Sweet. Without attacking, I mean, I'm going to move to the other side of the fire where I can still do stuff.
Okay, you can move six spaces.
And we did kind of say that, like, a dude can leap a fire.
I must say that.
If you start your turn in the fire, you take 2d4 damage.
I have...
Or you don't.
I have 6 health. Is anyone worse than me?
Nope. I'm at 7 and closer to dudes.
That's
you're
true.
Not in the best
That's position. True, actually. All right, I'm going to heal Ratface.
Nesbit the rat.
Nesbit.
Who is a weasel.
I'm a fucking
who is
weasel.
A gelt.
All right, that's 9 HP.
Every time you say Nesbit, I can only think of Michael
that's a
Nesbit.
D10.
If Sorry. You could not roll a 1, I'd be very happy.
That D8 is cursed.
For the listeners... That was a 1.
As well as every time you do this.
My third 1 in a row.
Try this
one. I want to know the math on that.
It's better, but it's, I mean,
I know.
You rolled it. Yeah.
You can use that one if you want.
3? 3 health?
3 health.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Damn. All right, fine.
It's up better than nothing, man.
And I'm still shielded. I still have plus
guarded.
2. Guarded. I'm useless. But really, I'm just cold and collected and watching all of you guys and judging. like Vegeta, the way that, like, he's judging, but, like, he would have lost
too. Vegeta
would
never heal anyone.
But he would have lost too. No, I've only healed myself. No, I healed you. Never
question.
Mind.
All right. What's a Vegeta?
It's Japanese for vegetable.
Ooh.
All right. Next it is
Vegeta.
Next it's the two bandits. So one disengages.
All right.
To stand between Esmond and Professor Mandragrove because he now flanks Mandragrove.
Yes.
Is he moving out of a contested square?
Yes, but he disengaged to do so.
Damn. So he can do one square.
Yes.
Okay.
Piss.
And makes his attack. This is the hood guy. So this is 6 plus 2 plus 1. So
nope.
9. All right. The next one makes an attack. Again, with a plus 3 bonus.
Who? This is vest?
The one with the vest.
Oh!
Shit.
And crits. So
crits.
Natural 20.
Yep.
Deals. What is it? 1d8. So 8 plus 3 does 11 damage.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he dealt 11 damage.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What is that? 4?
6 damage, I think, right? That's
did you have 5 armor?
Yeah. I'm almost going down here, man.
Next is Kelton. What do you do?
All right. So vest or leader, probably,
I don't know. That
right?
Wolf is a survivor, man.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be the last one out of here.
Yeah.
Probably run away at the end on 3 legs and make it.
I feel like...
Fuck somebody up.
I
fuck
kill
somebody up that's flanking you.
Vest.
Okay.
What is it?
17.
19.
That's
it's more than plus 2. Yeah, that definitely hits.
23.
Right, fuck him up.
I think 23.
All right, let's see some damage.
8.
Dead.
Yeah.
You bury your axe between where the buttons go in his vest that he didn't clasp together because he's too cool to like button his vest.
You have to button. Oh, that's gross. I don't like that at all.
Yeah,
all
right,
he's done.
I'm gonna pull.
Well, the
my
problem was when he stood up, he didn't rebutton.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm gonna pull the axe out of his chest. I'm gonna take the vest and toss it to Esmond.
I'm gonna pop that on, and I'm still naked,
but
got
don't you
a
have
vest
the hat
on? I'm sick.
Yeah, I think you got the
hat
still.
That's probably still fine.
Yeah, you weren't like
it's not a.
You walked into the fire. You weren't thrown
also,
into the fire.
That's not a 6-foot-tall fire.
No.
Yeah, it was just a little campfire.
Yeah, no. My robe is gone.
No, so. I mean, didn't you take hat from hat?
No.
He's,
I burned him up. That hat's probably fucking fried.
Yeah,
the hat that's a shame. That was such a dope hat.
Yeah,
the hat
not anymore.
Sucked. But it is the archer's turn.
Was he a Tolden? The vest. Or was
no.
it Guff?
They're all Guff.
They're all Guff.
Yeah. Okay.
So it'll fit me.
In that case, I'm going to rip out one of its tusks.
That will take a long time.
Okay.
It's a complicated butchering maneuver.
Let's do that after the fight.
I was thinking I could just...
So the archers are trying to position themselves in ways that allow them to escape. And one attacks Kelton, one attacks Esmond.
All right.
Miss against Kelton, miss against Esmond.
I like to think it just hits me but doesn't stick.
Like a little whippy like dance maneuver?
Or my tail flicks away.
I like to think I do this and it hits the leader.
Do what? I can't hear what you're doing.
Sorry, let me try to make it more noise when I do it. No, it didn't work.
You are the worst.
All right, so next is Esmond's turn.
All right, I'm going to...
What does the flaming naked lizard do?
He's got a vest.
I'm going to disengage.
From the guy with the hood?
And then I'm going to draw on the power of the fire next to me. And I just scream, flaming pillar. I look at that armored fucking boar, and I tell him to burn. And I'm going to use two momentum.
Ooh, okay.
I need a second die six. Plus one for hitting with my last fire shot, plus two for using hands for the last consecutive shots. Mm-hmm. With my general plus three, so that's plus seven.
Now, just as an aside, if you miss with your hands, that drops out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I haven't missed. 19 plus three plus five.
Definitely hits.
Yeah. 2d8 plus charisma. I would like another d8, please. Well, not I... yours.
Okay.
6 and 1. Plus 4.
So 7 plus 4, 11 damage to the leader?
Yes.
You hit him for 11 damage, but you feel like this dude's pretty robust. His shield and his armor is really working for him.
All right.
He's not happy. I mean, he's unhappy. He's not as good as he was when he came out there. Next is the leader's turn. He's going to take a swing at Dr. Professor. 16, that hits.
That's hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he deals 9 damage. Nesbitt, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to move around to the back of the leader so that I am flanking him with Dr. Professor.
All right.
Because we're flanking, I have the upper hand, which means I have backstab, counts as a sneak attack.
And a plus two on your attack.
Plus two on the attack. Once again, to make sure, I'm going to use a momentum.
Okay.
And I'm going to use my champion scene ability, Helmet Splitter. I am going to leap into the air, onto his shoulders, and thrust my dagger down into his helmet and scream, "Who's on top now, motherfucker?"
All right, do it. Let's see it.
I love you so much in this moment.
16 plus 6 plus 2.
Hits.
Plus 3.
Yeah, that hits. You tagged now, him with Helmet Splitter.
With sneak attack, I get an additional 2d6
yes.
for my strength, plus my strength, so 2, plus 3 weapon.
Holy
so,
shit.
3d4. Anybody got an extra Oof. 4?
Huh? For you, anything.
20.
20 damage. He is dead.
Focus! Who is this?
Keith?
The leader.
Oh, I'm gonna fuck you later.
Shit.
Keith, plus 2 momentum.
Yes! Hey, by the way, did I get any for stabbing him in the taint earlier?
No, it didn't. It wasn't as effective as this was.
Damn it. All right.
Yeah, no, it was a cool move, but it didn't pay off as much as it could have.
That was cool.
But this did. So, plus 2 momentum.
I think
you spent one, gained two.
Even if you've got... He lost 5 for being dead for a round.
That's true.
That did suck.
But whatever. Who gives a shit?
But even if the plus 1 the last time and the plus 1 this time, like, I think you're...
Killing it. You're killing it.
Good job.
Now it is the wolf turn. The three-legged wolf.
Die Hard.
The last one. The real MVP of this
Bruce
encounter.
Bruce Willis of the scene.
He's just not fucking having it with Dr. Professor. He disengages. Well, he's a fucking wolf. He doesn't know how to do that. So he just takes an attack. Hit.
Shitty hits.
And you're grappled. But first he does 6 damage.
You're down, aren't you?
No.
Oh, wait, no. He did.
He doesn't take damage.
He takes 1 damage.
I forgot.
All right, so he deals 6 damage, and you are grappled for...
Holy shit.
19.
Whoa.
So he's got a hold of you. Giles, what do you do?
All right, I'm going to, from where I am, cast Burning Ray on the guff.
So the enemy that you're fighting, you want to make sure he's in good shape? You want to heal him, or
I'm
do you want
healing
to damage
the
him?
Asshole Professor Guff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roll the curse D8. We got to break the curse.
Break it. Break it. Break it.
Yeah!
That's an 8.
Please tell me it was an 8. Fuck yes.
That's 10 health, and I continue my plus 2 guarded.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That was good. Now you have a swift action and a move action. Do you want to do either?
I'm going to move slightly, so if I decide to attack, I'm in better range.
So you circle the fire. The last bandit with the hood. He is so fucking sick of Kelton's shit. Attacks Kelton. Misses. Now it is the bowman's turn.
I kind of like the fucking wolf.
I like the wolf.
I do like the
wolf.
In
fact, if he would, like, I'll be your dog now. Yeah, like, yeah, fine.
Can I intimidate this wolf into being
my dog?
One of ours?
Scaring a wolf is the way to...
I was going to use character action. Just be like, come on, just fucking hang out with us.
Can I interrogate the wolf?
I'll use swim to get the wolf.
I'll use bargain.
I will sleight of hand bargain the wolf into my pocket.
All right, so...
What about deception? It's, you've been on our side this whole time. Is that other fucking guy?
All right. So next is the bowman. And one attacks Kelton, one attacks Esmond.
As it should be.
Miss Kelton, 14 against Esmond.
Nope.
Miss.
They feel like this fight started with just bad placement. Been playing with
as
the placement
soon as we
a little
figured
bit better,
it out,
it's been
no,
a little
now
better.
Now we're on fucking fire.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's just me.
Kelton, it is your turn. As your swift action, you can try to escape the grab if you wish.
What happens to me if I don't?
You don't get to do anything.
I don't get to do anything?
You can attack the dog.
Barehanded.
He's got an axe.
I really
fuck
like
that dog,
dog
up. No, fuck that
I
dog.
I know. It's going to be easier for me to...
I just don't have a melee weapon.
You can use a character action if you really wish to try to convince the dog to stand down.
Do it.
What would that take?
Let's say it's like a handle animal, and that's an intelligence check. At this point, if you can do 15 or greater...
Okay.
Do you have any food on you? Like, is there a good reason why you would have food?
No, I think it would all be in the wagons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. So if you could do a 15 or
greater...
So
what I'm going to do is I'm going to look the wolf...
No, it would be charisma. I'm sorry. It would be charisma, not intelligence.
I'm going to look the wolf in the eyes.
Okay.
Kelton.
But you can do that. You can do the
Crocodile Dundee.
The Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, wolf, I fucking like you. And then I'm going to try to bury my axe in its head.
Oh. So you're not going to...
It's bitten me twice.
Okay. Got it. Right on. Let's see it. Yeah, 9 plus 2. And any other bonuses?
I think that's all I get is the dex, right?
Miss.
All right.
Now it is Esmond Trott's turn.
Going for the fucking dog. 12 plus 6.
Hits.
11.
11. He had 2 health.
Fucking dog.
That is one less than the number of legs he had.
All right. And it is the leader's turn, but he is fucking dead. So, Nesbitt, what do you do?
Gonna go around Kelton. So that we are adjacent to one another and both in position on the bandit with the hood.
Who has never been hit.
Oh, he's never been hit? Dope. Plunging strike. If an ally is adjacent and able to attack, have the upper hand. I get sneak attack damage on this guy, assuming I hit. 8 plus 3.
11. Upper hand? 2.
I mean, it hits.
Yeah, this is the upper hand. Okay, yes.
Here's the thing. You know what would have hit? 8.
Oh, dope. All right, cool. 1d4, 2d6, plus 2.
Jesus.
Then 9.
9 damage, all right.
Swift action, reveal weakness, the archer over here with the cape. He takes an extra d10 from the next guy who hits him.
The wolf's turn, and it's
I see
dead.
You.
This is sad. Giles, what do you do?
I miss you, wolf.
I'm going to move slightly towards the archers. Pinning strike.
Okay, shit, because they are clearly fleeing.
14.
Hits.
So that's...
that's a d8. You rolled a 1 again. Same one. And a 3. So 4 damage.
4 damage plus a die 10, which is this guy.
Five damage total so far.
Plus my dex. No, plus my int. Is it int?
Yeah.
Int is 1.
So
6 damage, but they're immobilized until the end of my next turn.
Okay, which the one with the yellow cape?
Yes.
They're okay. Fucking barbecued, my dude. All
right, he is immobilized.
I, could,
I cannot believe your rolls, dude.
What's funny is that the complaints you had midway through, when we pulled you, had you rolled differently in any way,
you would have feel destroyed. Totally
different. I know.
Do you want to switch out your dice?
This one.
Those are the dice I use for my cleric.
This one.
They work great.
This one can eat a dick. Watch.
Four.
It's fine.
That's not too bad.
All right. So it's the bandit with the hoodie's turn next. And he's going to full flee. So he's gonna double move plus two.
Get to attack him? I do get to attack
him. Nesbitt and Kelton get to attack him.
Crit.
I saw a natty one, and I was like, oh, that's a miss. I forgot that you crit on a one.
I got a 12.
You got a 12. 12 on him.
That man is so fucking dead.
Let's deal with the crit first, because that's a known quantity.
Six.
He takes 6 damage.
Ugh.
Professor Mandergrove.
8 plus 2 for strength, that's 10.
He is dead.
Yes!
There's a chance you might not have killed him even if both of you hit, but you did.
Can I pull off his hood? Esmond.
Yeah?
I'm just
What's
like,
up?
Put some fucking clothes on, man.
Nothing's on my dick. It's just hanging out.
Well, you have a cloaca. It is not hanging out.
Do I have a cloaca?
Yes, it's canon.
No, that's gross.
That's what the hood's for.
Put a hood on your
I'm not
cloaca.
Just a crocodile. I'm a crocodile man.
Crocodile man, dad.
Okay, you have a very impressive cloaca.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I wanted.
Either that or a fireproof dick.
Hello, Boston.
We are a fireproof dick.
Kelton, right. It is your turn.
Toward the pin one.
Okay. And you're going to tell him to attack the non-pin one?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm going
to... me.
Yeah. No, I mean...
Take the shot
sure.
to Esmond.
To the archer with the goggles.
Shit, fucking guy.
Shit. 4 plus 7, 11.
Plus my 1.
Against
so 12.
Against the bowman? Hits.
All right.
Fucking shit.
6 damage.
The bowman's turn.
If
so,
we can save one of them, I can interrogate them.
The one with the goggles just runs. He fled completely. The other one takes a shot at Kelton. Panicked. Hits. And deals. Which is D6 flat. 3 damage. Now, Esmond, what do you do?
Bribe the motherfucker. 10.
Hit.
7 damage.
He looks rough. He's on fire. Nesbitt, what do you do?
Real quick. My character is going to look across the wagon. Grayson, I'm going to fucking kill you when we're done with this shit.
Well, he's not there.
He's on the other side.
He ran with the guards.
I'm just yelling into the night. Okay. I suspect.
You can double move and get right up in his shit.
Oh, double move. That means I can do 2 movement speed, right?
Yeah, you can do 6
okay,
twice.
Okay, so I'll get here instead so that I'm not in between.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right
on. Good look move. At line
Good
of
move.
Sight.
Good, Good move.
Giles, what do you do?
I'm going to move slightly closer. Rapid fire. Do we want to interrogate this person?
No, I don't care.
I don't think he knows anything.
Burn him. Metaphorically.
And if you don't, he'll burn him literally.
6.
Miss.
Okay.
Well, that's with 1. What's the next one?
Wait, I get to roll twice?
Yeah. You make 2 attacks.
Goggles.
Oh, I do.
Away, right?
Natty
listeners, that would be a 1.
I'm done. I'm re-rolling my character. That's just what I'm doing.
Switch out your dice.
Re-rolling like my character.
These dice are retired.
No, these dice have already spent all their bad rolls. These dice are ready.
It's like a slot machine. Like the jackpot is coming
it's
up.
It's as good of a justification as that these are going to always roll poorly.
I those are exactly the dice I use when playing my cleric, and he does great. Like, he's crit so many times.
I blame your cleric.
Yeah, my cleric stole all the good rolls out of those dice. I just imagine you pulled out 2 arrows, and you just shot them high into the sky. And you're like, oh, wait, you meant him?
So I look at the only remaining target, and I look at my arrow quizzically, rotating it around to make sure that I have straight enough arrows.
Not a curved arrow.
Yeah.
Next is Kelton.
I'm so confused.
Kelton,
what does Kelton do?
This fucker.
How heavy are those wagons?
How heavy are the wagons?
Like 1,000 pounds.
Okay, great. So if I unstoppable force him into the wagon, would that crush him?
No. It doesn't do any extra damage.
Oh, damn.
But he couldn't move through them.
I would put him through it.
Well, he's no longer mobile.
Look, either kill him or get out of the way, because he's going to be on fire
soon. Move up to him. Use one momentum.
Okay.
And what's special about him? He's wearing a cape.
He's wearing a yellow cape. It looks very fancy, but dirty and gross now.
Yeah.
Like, it was really nice.
At one point.
Yeah.
I really want that cape.
You can have that cape.
Sweet.
I need pants, though, real bad.
I don't need any benefit from that equipment. I just want to wear the cape.
I'm going to try chopping his head off.
So you're just doing a basic attack?
Basic attack, that's really all I can do, right?
You hit.
I hit. D8 plus my strength.
God damn
one
it.
Plus two one is three.
Would
three
you like damage. To try my die?
Would you believe that he is dead?
Did I chop off his head though? Did I chop off his head?
Yeah, you hacked at him and his head fell off and rolled under the caravan. You're hoping it doesn't fuck with the wheels like a stone.
Right.
They're dead. The other guards and Krayson come back. They're like, oh, God, that was crazy. We chased him for like...
Why are you naked?
30 minutes. What's going on here? What's going
I'm
on with all the
you
bodies?
A very important question about the current status and location of your pants.
they were burned.
I've had many a night like that myself.
Look at all these fucking corpses.
They're common brigands, I assume. Perhaps competing powers that way in the area.
Can I loot the leader?
Loot? Yeah. He doesn't have anything on him except for the shield and the armor. And like, he didn't bring like his personal effects with him other than those.
Can I smash it?
Can you smash his stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, smash it.
That's what I do.
Are any of them even relatively my size?
Does anyone want it before
all
I smash
right.
it?
I just pick a pair of pants.
I just
want a pair of pants.
All I want is that yellow cloak.
Wait a minute.
The cape.
Now I rip all their tusks out.
Okay, take as much time as you need to rip all their tusks out.
How many guff were there?
There were...
Three?
No, there was more than three. Hold on.
Four.
Four. Five total, six. But one of them got away.
Six total, six. One got away.
All right, so I can add 12 tusks to my inventory?
Yes.
They're not part of my clan.
Who is your clan?
The Metal Clan.
Okay.
Because they're fucking metal.
Krayson doesn't know anything about what happened.
This happens sometimes. We don't know who they are.
I'd like to interrogate him about it.
Krayson?
Yes.
Well, you mean like, do you want to see if you think he's lying?
I want to hurt him.
You can hurt him whenever you want to. You can just deal damage to
Krayson. How many other guards are there?
There's 12.
That's too many.
I do actually want to...
There's six.
There's two men. Let's not...
Okay.
I do actually want to use my intuition and see if that's really all he knows and all he thinks this is.
Make an intelligence check.
And the intuition bonus is what? Because that's one of my abilities.
Plus five.
Yeah. No.
Roll twice.
You roll twice, use the higher result.
Oh, roll twice. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're also a grifter. I don't think that plays into it, though.
No, I don't think so, really. I'm trying to see if he's fucking conning, not
right.
if I'm conning myself.
Game recognized game.
13 or 1.
So
if only I was using my dagger's intuition.
So 13 plus
13 plus 1 intelligence.
So 14. You have no reason to think he's lying.
Okay.
I like to think you stabbed him, licked the blood, and like, no, he's telling the truth.
That's an honest blood.
I bet I could make him.
You could probably make him admit to anything.
I killed teenage Abraham Lincoln.
So Giles can heal people now, like just freely at will.
Fantastic. I heal everyone but the guff.
I'm pretty low.
That's...
I overheal everyone but the guff. You made it a point to not be interested in me as a friend.
I would have if you had just, like, hit something or done something.
We were in the throes of battle, and that man didn't have a fire to protect him.
That's true. You did heal me. I give him one tusk.
I wrote that tusk down on my inventory.
I give Nesbit one of the curled tusks because that was pretty cool.
Okay, everybody's up.
I take the rest of the tusks, put them in a pile, and urinate on them. That's destroying their spirit forever.
As is tradition.
Yes.
Okay, so
when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You
You fucking animals.
Creason's like, well, I doubt they'll attack again. That was a very effective defense we all put up.
The peeing, especially.
We all.
That we yes. all put up, yes.
Thank you, Creason.
I also agree.
Yes, cask of ale all around. Let's yeah. split it.
We give a wake for the three-legged wolf.
I will pour out a shot for the three-legged wolf.
All right. To the three-legged wolf.
To the three-legged wolf.
The night passes uneventfully, and you begin moving again.
All right.
And it's about midday. You arrive at the dig site. You can tell that the area has been staked off to encompass an enormously large area because it's in a meadow and it extends into the forest beyond the meadow. The dig has only just started in the sense that, like, they started digging in the middle. There's a tiny divot that is staked off with little meter-length posts.
Who the fuck starts a puzzle from the middle?
So they started digging, and there's a whole crew, and they're all kind of milling around, and immediately a very stout gelt female that looks like a wolverine is much larger than Nesbitt walks up to Kelton. Her name is Forsha. She is the foreman and the diviner. She can help recognize magical objects.
I raise my head and say, to the three-legged wolf!
To the three-legged wolf!
Three-legged wolf.
As soon as she hears Nesbitt speak, she looks at him and goes, oh, what the fuck is he doing here?
Missed you, Forsha.
And she grits her teeth and looks away, and she goes, I dinna ken why you'd bring that piece of trash.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. What can I say?
You sell trash as treasure. Now I've got to take inventory of all the man's gear, and if anything goes missing, we know who to hang.
He hired me? I don't know.
Forsha, you're misrepresenting me in front of my new pals here.
Anyway, fuck all that and that piece of shit. We have other problems. And she, like, nods her head. And across the dig, where there is a very tall Krex in a long robe harassing a couple diggers. This asshole came out of the woods, and he's been bothering us for a week. Just get away from us.
I assume I'm still blood spattered, right?
I mean, a little.
I am going to get up in that motherfucker's face right now.
Krex is the...
bird.
Burbs.
Bird.
He looks like a raven. He is voiced by James Mason.
All right.
Good.
As you get closer, Giles, you recognize this person as Calavon. He is an emissary of a cult that has sprung up in the area called the Way Forward. They are a neo-Luddite group that thinks that the past is what caused all of the problems, like with the Savathians, whatever the Tolden were, or whoever did what. All of this is punishment, and magic is the reward to those that ignore it. He's proselytizing to some of the workers who just want to be left alone.
You know that this is wrong what you're doing. You'll be smote like everyone else.
I'm going to walk up and explain to him how the Guff actually invented all technology and he's wrong.
Perhaps that's why they're so backward now.
And he puts eyes on Giles and goes, I should have known that the cult of Baratus would be involved in this. They always are in the most savory places.
Cult? That's very big coming from you.
I understand that you ran into some trouble in the road. It's quite unfortunate.
Go away, Birdman. Time to dig.
Gentlemen, I must be on my way. Don't let me leave you without a warning. What you're doing here is abomination. It will not go unpunished. And we'll see you next time. Thank you all for listening. Again, if you want to play along, we will be posting simplified versions of the rules at rpgfs.wikia.com. In addition to that, subscribers to our Patreon get access to printable character sheets, PDFs, user polls, and extra audio content. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us at patreon.com/rpgfs, facebook.com/rpgfs. Twitter, we are at homebrewhombres, and on Instagram, you can find us at rpgfromscratch. It's all one word. And until next time, stand watch and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life.
Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.